Jesus, we give you a yes on this morning. Hallelujah. We give you a yes on this morning. We give you our full attention. So many things has our attention. So many things draw us. But God, this morning, before we do anything else, before we go to our jobs and give them our 8 hours, before we get ready for work, before we get ready, oh God, and start attending to our children, God, we give you our first on this morning. Hallelujah. We open our eyes and we give you praise, oh God. We get our strategy and our understanding from you, oh God. It had been so cool. We recognize, God, we can't do anything without you. Hallelujah. We recognize that, God, we, are yours. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the orchestrator of all creation. You are the controller of time. So before we do anything, God, we give you our first on this morning. Hallelujah. So before we pick up these phones, we give you our first. Hallelujah. And we magnify your name, Jesus. You are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the glory. You are worthy of all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will be rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to say that again. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is such a great morning. I woke up with such gladness. I woke up with such gratitude to give to my God. It is such a beautiful morning. We are here at 5 a.m. for 60 for 60. And this has been so sweet to us. And I'm just excited. And today we're going to pray. And we're going to continue in the vein of patterns and identity. But before we get into our prayer, there is some direction that the Lord wants us to go in. I do want to do a recap, just a smidget, because I truly believe that there is something the Lord is wanting us to truly dig in when it comes to our mouth and when it comes to our identity and when it comes to our patterns. Hallelujah. As Apostle was saying yesterday, that thoughts shape our agreement. We can agree with that. We found out yesterday just how deep our thoughts shape our agreement. And we found out why the enemy targets the mind first, and because of the strongholds and the power that the mind has over how we think. And so this morning, I want us to go into 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to start at verse 33, because oh, God, settle me, because I'm excited. The word makes me so excited. We're going to find out oftentimes how our identity shapes how we move. Our identity shapes how we move. Identity isn't just about how you describe yourself. It is an internal framework that governs how you think. It decides for you. Your identity determines how you lead. Your identity determines how you communicate and how you respond to pressure. We found out that pressure truly gives you real clarity on where you are spiritually. But pressure also exposes the identity, that you are truly standing in. because we say a lot of things, but there's always a time for testing, as we know. There's always a time for testing. Our words are always tested. And when that testing comes in the form of pressure, we find out exactly where we are. Okay? So how we see ourselves determines how we handle responsibility, people, how we respond to authority, and how we steward influence, and how we interpret resistance. Identity produces movement, and repeated movement forms patterns. And those patterns eventually define our outcomes personally, professionally, and corporately. So we're going to find here how identity shapes you, but we're also going to find how taking on someone else's identity can slow you down. God appointed you. God appointed you. God created you because the earth needed a you. The earth didn't need you and then a 2.0 of you and then a 3.0 of you. No. He created you with you in mind, exactly how you are, exactly how you think, exactly how you speak, because there are a people assigned to you waiting for your voice, because your voice unlocks, waiting for the way you understand. See, we have a lot of the same gifts, but they function differently and they show up differently. So we're going to find here how David and Saul have the same understanding, but the way they show up is different. The grace that God gave Saul isn't the same grace that God gave David. And we're going to find out just how that is. So if you turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to start with verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." They're talking about Goliath. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." Verse 36 says, "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a cloak of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now, I want to stop right here, and I want to give some context to what's happening. Before David ever stands before Goliath, David is not on a battlefield as a soldier. Let's make that very clear. He is sent by his father to deliver food to his brothers who are enlisted in Saul's army. David arrives as a servant, not a warrior. I'm going to say that again. David arrives as a servant, not a warrior. At this time, Israel is paralyzed by fear. For 40 days, man, Goliath has openly been wreaking havoc on Saul and his army. Okay? Yet no one, including King Saul, is willing to confront Goliath. The army's hesitation reveals not a lack of weapons, but a crisis of identity. You are a king, and y'all are warriors. But you, as a warrior, can't even confront this giant, this Philistine that has been terrorizing you. It shows how they see Goliath through a natural strength rather than covenant authority. There are some things in your lives, in our lives, that we have to look at through our spiritual lens. Because if we look at it through the lens of the natural, we're going to see these giants, we're going to see this Goliath, and we're going to think that, oh God, this is going to overpower me, it's too much. And then the authority that that God has given us begins to diminish. And that is the trick of the enemy. He wants you to see at all times, always, through the lens of your natural eye. But we know that if we can just get hold of the Spirit and see it through the lens of the Spirit, how we'll be able to accomplish anything. So when David hears Goliath's words, his response is different. He doesn't assess the situation through rank, size, or experience. Instead, David interprets the threat through relationship and covenant, asking why an uncircumcised Philistine is allowed to defy the living God. David's confidence is rooted not in ambition, y'all, but in who God is and who he knows himself to be. David walks in knowing exactly who he is because he served a Most High God. Some of the things that we are experiencing, God is waiting. First of all, we give the enemy too much power. Let's really stop there. And I'm not going to go too much into that because I could go there. But we give the enemy too much power and we forget who is truly in control. Because before he can even move, he has to ask God for permission. He has to ask God for permission. He has to come before the Father with a plan on if it's okay to move in this way concerning you. So when we're under things and under attack, we need to ask the right questions, because David recognized that you all are not asking the right questions here. He's saying, now how is this Philistine able to wreak havoc against the living God? Like, no. David's confidence is rooted not in ambition, but in who God is. Only after David testifies of God's past faithfulness of delivering him from a lion and bear does Saul attempt to equip him with his own armor. Now, this moment highlights tension between external qualification and internal identity, setting the stage for David's realization that what works for Saul is not what God designed for him. God equipped you with every tool needed to slay Goliath. God has equipped you with every tool needed to fight against what you're experiencing. But oftentimes we look at our situations like, oh, but I'm not as strong as so-and-so. We start seeing and looking and comparing ourselves to others that are going through similar experiences. David and Saul are both in the same thing. They're experiencing and they're seeing the same giant, but both of them are seeing, are having a different perspective. Both of them are seeing it from the lens of how they see themselves. But what is taking place here with David that isn't taking place with Saul is Saul has everything, all the armor, all the swords, but he does not have the mindset in knowing whose he is and who he belongs to. So when we go further and we read, we see that when David puts on Saul's armor, it slows him down. It slows David down, and he's not able to move as God assigned him to move. You see, God assigned him exactly that, to show up exactly how he was. He showed up as a servant because he was assigned for that. David was assigned to kill Goliath. And God is assigning you to slay whatever Goliath is in your life, wreaking havoc. And he has equipped you with the proper tools to do so. Before David gets into public victory, he operated in private obedience. He is sent by his father to deliver food, y'all. That part really blew my mind. He was equipped to send food. And naturally, right? He's not equipped for war. How could he possibly fight this giant? He was not equipped to fight. He wasn't equipped to lead or to be seen. He was there on assignment to bring food. A lot of us literally question why God has us in a place. But if we would just go, we want to negotiate with God. And we like to ask God, let this make sense before we can move. A lot of us, including myself, look for the logic. We look for the logic. God isn't logical, y'all. He is sovereign. When he asks us to move, just move because there is a reason. Imagine if David hesitated. You want me to go into battle to deliver them food? Imagine if we can mute the line. If you have your line unmuted, please mute your line so that when we have the recording that there isn't no feedback. Thank you so much. Imagine if David said, yeah, I don't know about that, because he started looking at his surroundings. But David walked in authority. David knew when you were going to, God said to go bring the food, I'm protected because I'm walking in the authority of God. You can't touch me. I got God on my side. And that's how we need to approach certain situations, is with the same confidence and authority of David. He was obedient to the assignment. Many people want visibility first without honoring responsibility. David honored responsibility in being obedient to the assignment. Divine patterns begin with faithfulness in what appears to be small. And identity is rooted in obedience. It creates readiness for expansion. When you obey, it fortifies who you become, who you see yourself, what you see yourself as, excuse me. It fortifies your identity when you follow in the obedience of God. And so when we stop seeing ourselves the way the Lord sees us, like Israel's army and including Saul, it reveals fear, and fear identifies identity gaps. It immobilizes you. Y'all, for 40 days, Goliath challenged them openly. They had all the resources to defeat Goliath, but they didn't have their identity in alignment. It was misaligned. The army and Saul saw size. They saw experience instead of authority. And they saw risk instead of responsibility. Fear is often not about the obstacle. It's about how we see ourselves in relation to it. You know, I like to, there was, I can't remember her name. Oh, yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. It was a woman by the name of Gloria Mayfield Banks. And she is not just a woman who became this, the first Black woman in Mary Kay to be one of the top Mary Kay consultants in the company. But she went on to expand from that. And she created a book called Quantum Leaps. And she talks really about the power of words and the power of her mind. This woman is dyslexic. This woman is severely dyslexic. I mean, she cannot read the words because it's jumbled for her. And she is literally a successful woman, million-dollar woman, has major books. And if she would have allowed herself to see herself through the lens of man, she would have seen her dyslexia as a limitation. But she knew, based off of how she framed fear, and she said that fear is a false emotion appearing real. And the second she came to the understanding of that's what fear is, it literally reshaped how she handled situations. And so before we go into prayer, I want us to truly see whatever it is that is plaguing you, whatever fear it is, reframe that as a false emotion appearing real. A lot of the times, as we found out yesterday, the enemy blows up smoke and mirrors and tries to redefine what something is, redefine reality for us and make us emotionally attached to it so it keeps us in bondage. So it keeps us in bondage. And so in the text, we see David put on Saul's armor. That was grace for Saul. It wasn't grace for David. And so David finally takes off Saul's armor and goes with what the Lord gave him, the tools to defeat the Goliath. And David went with his sling and his five smooth stones, and he defeated the giant that the soldiers of Israel, including King Saul, could not defeat. And he went there and with the confidence and the authority, reminding himself and those who could hear his testimony that the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear is the same God that is going to bring this Philistine into his hand. And that is where we need to apply the same posture to our situation. So, Father, we come before you with gratitude, acknowledging that you are intentional in how you create us to be. You call and position your people for a greater work. And today we declare that our identity is rooted in you, not in titles, not in performance, not in comparison or past limitations. We thank you that who we are is established by your design and affirmed by your truth. We renounce every false identity we have worn, every borrowed expectation, every pattern we adopted to survive, every version of ourselves shaped by fear, insecurity, or the pressure to imitate others. Today we lay down armor that does not fit us and release methods, voices, and strategies that were never assigned to us. We choose alignment over limitation and obedience over comparison. We declare that we are positioned with purpose. Our influence is designed. Our voice is necessary. Our assignment is clear. We stand boldly in the truth that we are sons, and we are secure, established, and confident in belonging. Hallelujah. We are not striving for approval. We are moving from acceptance. We are not performing for value. We are stewarding what has been entrusted to us. Hallelujah. We break agreement with every pattern of bondage, fear-based decision-making, people-pleasing, self-doubt, and the temptation to return to what you have already delivered us from. Hey, today, we exchange those patterns for the pattern of a son. We receive clarity instead of confusion, confidence instead of comparison, courage instead of hesitation, authority instead of fear. My God, we declare that we will move at the pace you have set for us. Use the tools you've trained us with. Hallelujah. And walk in the grace you've already provided. We are bold in who we are. We are steady in our assignment. We are confident in your faithfulness. We will not shrink back. We will not bleed or bend in. We will not compromise or identify with other things to fit systems that are misaligned with who you've called us to be. Haya man sukurebeya, levenso koraman shakaya. We stand firm, grounded, and empowered, moving forward with clarity, moving forward with conviction, moving forward with courage. In the mighty name of Jesus, tekiaraman sukurebeya, lavan. So we don't need anyone else's armor. La man surebeki araman saya. We don't need anyone else's grace. Levenso. We stand in the authority of how you show up in our lives, how you function in our lives, and what we are graced with. Hey, kikaraman sukurebandia, leven subrandia kaya masaya. Hey, adeya daraman sukuramandaya, leven. So what God's graced you with and has placed in your hand does a mighty work than when someone else picks it up and does it. Hayaman sukura besi kiaramaya. Kiaraman sukura bandai. Whatever God has called you to, when you put your hands on it, you are moving in authority with God, and you have backing from heaven. And it does a wondrous power in your hand, because who is coming behind you with it? Hallelujah. So don't have your eyes on things and compare yourself to others and see yourself through the lens of them. Oh, they're not. I can't do it like her. You're not supposed to. I can't do it like him. You're not supposed to. God made one of one for you to show up as you, not as anybody else. Taman si kerevenso, labandrevenso. Do not put on anyone else's armor. Do not put on, don't even think. We eradicate the very thought out of our mind to do it like somebody else. Give us the confidence to stand in who we are and whose we are. Hallelujah. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory be to the Father. I am stirred. I don't know about y'all, but I am stirred. I am stirred. God made you unique. The world needs a you, not another somebody else. So the line is open now for the apostles, the prophets, or anyone that wants to come in and share what they've heard or what the Lord is saying at this time. The line is open.
Good morning. This is Pat from South Carolina. I was praying and asking God about something, and I was fearful about something that I was going after. And Jesus is so amazing. Lord Jesus, thank you. Yes, I was fearful, and I need to say that, but I'm not. I am unique, and I am equipped to do anything that God has for me. And I thank you, Jesus, for the confirmation. Father God, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, all. Thank you.
Glory be to God. You are unique. Amen. Let that be your confession. Hallelujah. We give glory to God. We give glory to God. Thank you, woman of God, for sharing. Thank you. Will there be another?
Grace and peace. Grace and peace. This is Sister Denitra. This has blessed me, truly blessed me, and it gave, it highlighted, you know, it just confirmed, you know, who we are. And we walk in the identity of Christ. We walk in what he has called us to be. This has truly blessed me. I want to thank you for your obedience, woman of God. And I thank God for this. I love everyone. God bless.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nitra. I bless God. I'm glad that you were blessed. I bless God. Glory be to the Father. Thank you, God. Will there be another?
Grace and peace. This is Apostle Fash. I just thank God for your obedience and the direction that you allowed him to take you in this word. You walked the text. It was really good, really powerful word. And I feel that it brought a lot of freedom to a lot of us today in our thought process towards ourselves. And when it comes to our identity, and I was just so blessed even by you telling the testimonial of the lady who the Mary Kay consulted. And when you say fear is a false emotion that appears real, I had to write that down because that blessed me. And that's something aside from the word that you taught that I will be chewing on when fear tried to arise in myself. So I bless God for the word today, for the prayer. More grace.
Oh, thank you, Apostle Fash. It is. It is a false emotion appearing real. A false emotion appearing real. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you for sharing, Apostle. Will there be another?
Good morning. This is P.I.T. Renita. First, thank you for this teaching this morning. So it's definitely a necessary teaching. One of the things that you said that stuck out to me was that fear identifies gaps. And it just gave another protocol, in a sense, to employ when fear shows up, to then respond with question of, what gap is this identifying, so that then my response becomes addressing that instead of allowing the fear to be taken on as my lens. And so I'm thankful for that. I appreciate this. And, I bless God. Thank you so much, P.I.T. Cam.
Amen, P.I.T. Renita. We bless God. We bless God. We bless God. Thank you so much for sharing. Will there be another?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Elder Apostle-elect Ava Bethel on this morning. Forgive my voice. On this morning, I wanted to come forth and just give God praise for the word on today. And I was thinking as you were speaking, I don't know if anyone, I'm a really, really deep thinker. I think deeply the Lord, the way the Lord deals with me specifically is a lot with questions. And I was thinking about, how we can be born because of sin, how we can be born anyway, any type of way. We can be born with, you know, you use the example of the woman from Mary Kay with dyslexia. We can be born with a heart murmur. We can be born, you know, with certain, even, you know, some of us have certain chromosomes that are different. You know, we can be born, you know, with all sorts of things. You know, we can be born with the propensity to be same-sex attracted. We can be, but why do we think because we can be born a certain way? And I'm saying that because the Bible says we were born into sin and we were shaped into iniquity. Our logic when it comes to why God can't use that is where I was stuck. Instead of us seeing that, we see our frailties as deficiencies instead of seeing them as something that God can use and speak through and how he can get glory out of them. We may see someone, this is why they have things like the I don't know if they call it the Handicap Olympics, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but we see that they have the Olympics for those that have, you know, different immobilities. Maybe they can't walk, or, you know, maybe they have one arm, right? Instead of seeing that as something God can use, we see it as something that is an insufficiency to us. And so you talked about perspective. It's all about how we see a thing. If you see a thing from a place of, hold on a second, I'm getting a text message. Thank you. Special Olympics. Okay, Special Olympics. I knew it couldn't have been called Handicap Olympics. Special Olympics. Thank you, Apostle Fash. If you see a thing, there's an analogy where it says, do you see things with your glass half full, or do you see it half empty? It's all about how you see it. Some people see a glass and they say it's half empty. Some see it as half full. It's all how you see it. So if you're looking at yourself and you're seeing yourself as half empty, then already you're going to see yourself from, and you're going to think, I have a deficiency, instead of looking at it more like that's a uniqueness that God has given me, that God has allowed me to have. And even though it may not be what the other person has, God is going to use that in my life to bring him glory. So I think for me, what I got out of the word the most was that, is that these things that we have are unique to who we are. They're unique to how we function. And we all bring something to the table. And we shouldn't compare one another because, as she said, I'm not supposed to do what you do necessarily. In fact, what you do aids me. What I do aids you. And both of us together, we can advance even stronger because the word says, I believe it's in Proverbs, we're better together. We're better together. So thank you so much, P.I.T. Cam, for the word of the Lord on today. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Apostle. We are better together. We are. We are better, better, better together. Thank you. Thank you so much. Will there be anyone else before we go give our announcements and then close the line? Well, amen, amen, amen. It is a glorious week, y'all. It is a glorious week. It is Encounter Mornings weekend, and we are so excited to celebrate the Lord and to be with our Father yet again. And we are making our 3-year mark, y'all. We're three. I'm excited. And we are celebrating our anniversary of what the Lord is doing here at Set Miami. And we are also ordaining our leaders here who God has called to pastor, and he is now confirming publicly what he has been stewarding and shaping and preparing privately. So we will be ordaining Pastor Renita Smith and myself, Pastor Cameron Watson, on this Sunday. And it's not just for St. Miami. This is for you all as well. So come, share, bring a friend, tell someone about it. We are celebrating to this Sunday at 5 a.m. Bring a friend. Tell a friend to bring a friend. And we will see you back here at 12. Again, share the line. 60 for 60 has been a blessing, not just to my life, but I know it's been a blessing to you. And if it has been a blessing to you, share that. Share that blessing. Share that testimony of just how it's been for you. Share it in your group chats, post it on your Facebook, post it on your Instagram. And so we bless God on today. We thank you for all those that came forth and shared what they have heard. And we will hear you back on this line at 12 noon. God bless you. More grace.
Grace.
More grace.